This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
How are you doing? All right. Can everybody just stand up? It seems like you guys have been sitting for a very long time. Just stand up. Just stretch your legs, inshallah. Just breathe. So when you're ready, you can have a seat. I said when you're ready, you can have a seat. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi man wala, amma ba'd. At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companions, many of them were tortured in Mecca. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them permission to do hijrah to Abyssinia, Habasha. So when they went to Habasha, the Prophet ﷺ told them to go there because there was a king, لا يظلم عنده أحد, as the Prophet ﷺ said, وهو الصادق المصدوق, that nobody is treated unjustly there. So when the companions radiallahu anhum went there, as you know, they went through trials. Amr ibn al-As had come to try to extradite them back to Mecca. But An-Najashi, who was the king there, insisted that they would be treated justly. And in the end of all those trials, even though they tried to tell him, you know, ask the Muslims what they say about Jesus, alayhi salam, and even though, you know, An-Najashi, before them was Christian, what Ja'far radiallahu anhu had said to him contradicted what they knew of Jesus being God and so on, yet An-Najashi believed in it. He was crying and he said, go and I'll never turn you over to anyone. Now this story, it's interesting because we're talking today about leaving a legacy. Leaving a legacy. And I begin with the story of An-Najashi because he left a legacy of justice. Left a legacy of justice. And anybody from Habasha, one of our Al-Maghrib instructors, Dr. Abdullah Hakim Quick, you may be familiar with Dr. Abdullah, he's doing a lecture coming up soon, inshallah ta'ala, about the history of how Islam spread through Africa, through Andalus, and into America. And he began one of his speeches about An-Najashi. And he showed a picture that he had taken of An-Najashi's grave. This story of An-Najashi is so dear to me. Because An-Najashi, when he passed away, rahimahullah, Jibreel alayhi salam is the one who came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam to tell him about the death of An-Najashi. Jibreel alayhi salam. And so when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam heard this, he said to the companions, a beautiful statement, just a beautiful statement. And I wish that, you know, this would be a statement that would be rung, you know, every one of you would hear the statement, the angels would say it when you pass away. مَاتَ الْيَوْمَ رَجُلٌ صَالِحٌ. Today, a righteous man has died. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said about An-Najashi. The companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they stood up and they prayed Salatul Janazah in Medina, even though the body of An-Najashi was not there. Rahimahullah. When we're talking about legacy, basically the word legacy, you'll find it used when it comes to inheritance, right? So a person will say, someone passed away, they'll say, what was his legacy? I.e., what did he leave behind? Or what did she leave behind? What was their legacy? In terms of inheritance, you're talking about money that's left behind, estates, you know, maybe some properties that the person owned, and so on. But now when we're talking about legacy in the Islamic definition, of course that's part of it, the inheritance, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that. But what we're talking about is something handed down from the past to future generations. Right? That's what we're talking about, a legacy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that when he was going to create Adam and the children of Adam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. I'm placing on the earth a khalifa. Now, I'm sure, you know, you may have heard this ayah being recited before, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. But this ayah has specifically been on my mind for many, many months. And from an angle that you probably would never imagine. And that is the basically the animal kingdom angle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. I'm placing on the earth a khalifa, i.e. a creation that comes one after the other. I.e. a creation that procreates. And a creation that continues. Okay? And even when you hear about evolutionary, you know, people who say evolution, blah, 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 all that junk and whatnot. When they say those things, they're kind of like saying that, you know, something evolved. Yet those who have refuted the evolution theory have said that a human being cannot evolve because there are certain stages that if, you know, from the very first time, for example, a woman giving birth to a child, if a woman wasn't created from the very beginning to be able to give birth, she would die. The child would die. There would be no continuity. There's no time for evolution. They would both die. So it's like, you know, forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human being and programmed the human being with everything that they need to continue life. Okay? You're programmed, for example, if I said, who wants to get married? You know, all these brothers and sisters raising their hand. Who wants to get married, by the way? Okay? Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put that desire in your heart. You cannot shut that off. If someone says, I'm not going to get married, I'm just going to live by myself in a one-bedroom apartment till I die, you can't do that. Your body will not let you. That's like the Canadian geese say, you know what, let's not go south this year. Let's just stay in Banff. That's like the salmon say, let's not, you know, go off. You can't shut it off. And when you actually start to think about all the different programs that are built into you, you'd be so amazed. But I'll tell you one thing that's so amazing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala programmed in us, human beings, Muslim and non-Muslim. And that is the desire to contribute. The desire to give to others. It is built into us. If you ever go to McDonald's, right? And buy their salad or something. If you go to McDonald's, they have these signs on the wall that say, Ronald McDonald House. If you go to Tim Hortons, they have, you know, Timbits Hockey. You go from company to company. Why do they do that? Of the top reasons that they do it is employee retention. Because they know that the human being does not want to do a job if they feel that they're not contributing to the society. At some point, somebody's going to realize, you know what, I'm just flipping burgers here. But then they see the Ronald McDonald House and everything's okay after that. Right? Human beings want to contribute. They want to leave a legacy. So even if you're talking to non-Muslims and you ask them, what kind of job do you want? They'll say, well, I want to benefit people. I want to help people, so on and so forth. This desire to want to contribute is built into you. Here's something, another amazing thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put into us. Depression. It's so amazing. And pain. Pain is, there's like, this author wrote a book. And the title of the book is called The Gift of Fear. And I would say the gift of pain. Pain is so amazing. Because when you're doing something wrong, something that goes against your creation, goes against the khilafa of, you know, of procreation moving forward, an alarm clock goes off inside of you. You're programmed like it, you cannot shut it off. The pain just starts to tune on, you know, like it starts getting more and more and more. The older you get, as they call it, the biological clock, if you ever heard that statement, the pain intensifies. If a person's in their 20s, they're getting late 20s, the pain intensifies. They hit 30s, pain intensifies. They're not married, they don't have children. Pain starts going harder and harder. And the same thing with contribution. I was once giving a Jummah prayer. And at this Jummah prayer, it was in a place that I have issues with, this city. I'm not going to mention the city, but I have issues with it. But one of the reasons that I have issues with it is because there's a lot of Muslims there. You're talking about Jummah Salah, 1,000 people come for Jummah Salah. After Jummah Salah, in the evening, if there's an event, maybe 2 people will show up from 1,000 people. It makes me so sad and kind of angry too. And I would say that what are you doing this evening that is more important than being serious about your deen, about learning your deen, passing it? What's more important than that? I'd say if you're distracted by the dunya now and you're not paying attention, then either you take heed or you're going to be like, it's almost like being killed with a butter knife. The pain's going to come on you. And it's not necessarily going to come on you when you're in your 20s. Maybe not even your 30s, but you're going to get older and the pain's going to intensify. Your desire to want to contribute. It's almost like a person is, you know, there's an airplane, a flight that the person has to go on. And maybe this flight is, you know, it's their death. They're going to die at some point. But they keep procrastinating, you know, oh, you know, I still have 5 more minutes to board. And you hear this statement, final call. You know, we'll offload your luggage if you don't, you know, come before this. But the person keeps delaying. Maybe in the final moments they'll say, I want to leave a legacy now. Let me donate my money on my deathbed or something like that. But that's not the same as a person who's lived their life preparing to die. In other words, you want to live your entire life being ready at all times to die. You're not saying that when I become 65 and I have no more need for my money, that's when I'm going to give for the sake of Allah. No, it's when you're young and you have, you know, your heart's into you, you care about the money, you care about all the stabilities, but even at that time, you still have spent that time building a legacy, inshallah. I want to give you a tip right here, just a tip. You want to decide what this legacy that you want to leave. You want to decide very early or as soon as you can. What's the legacy that you want to leave? So that your life can be a continuous investment into this legacy. I.e., you don't want to come at your deathbed and try to leave a legacy. Things don't get established like that. They don't get established. Things get established with constant, consistent effort. So if, for example, let's suppose you have handicapped boys and girls here in Calgary, for example. And someone says, you know what, I want to create a program where, you know, like Islamic events like this, there could be, you know, sign language translation at all events. This is my dawah project, you say, and I'm always going to provide for that. Do you think there are people who are, you know, deaf in the community that would like to attend events like this? Of course there are. Someone hasn't thought about that. And then someone starts building a legacy. Like that, you know what, I'm going to start, I'm going to establish it, I'm going to pass this on, build an amazing system, pass it on from city to city. I've noticed another thing that Muslims do in legacy building is they're not very creative. So what they do is they basically look at somebody who's already doing something and then they say, hey, let's do that. It's kind of like the dumbest things to do. Because if somebody's already doing it, it means that it's already being done. There's like 1,000 things you can do. 1,000 things that the ummah needs, yet someone just looks in short-sightedness at something that's already being done, and they're like, let's do it. So for example, I have no examples, I'm just hypothetically saying. Hypothetically. Let's suppose you have a community newspaper, and someone says, wow, that's beneficial, I'm gonna start my own community newspaper. Okay, but maybe you could think of something else that will complement the newspaper. Why not start a community magazine? Why not start a community Yellow Pages, for example? Someone's already doing the newspaper, khair, let's move on to something else. And so on. So if you had everybody in the community focus, this person's legacy is this, that person's legacy is that, and everybody keeps focusing on these different legacies, your community will start thriving and building like that. Right? Each person focused on a different angle. I know I'm being, I want to give you, because people are asking about my experiences. You'll see that our community, alhamdulillah, we're good at masjid building. We're good at masjid building. Which is khair, of course, we need masjids. But sometimes, for example, media. Let's look at media. One of the most beautiful examples that I've seen of media is in the United Kingdom. there's a satellite TV station there called Islam Channel. And I'm sure you're probably familiar as well with Peace TV, with Dr. Zakir Naik's satellite. That's media. That's a whole different angle. If you take a general volunteer group from the masjid and give them a satellite TV station, what will happen? The TV station will collapse. It's just not the same thing. It's different skills, it's different mentality, it's you're playing at a different level, it's just something completely different. In other words, sure, the community is good in one or two aspects, schools, masjids, and that's great, alhamdulillah, and of course we need it, but we have so many people in the community that you just, whatever you love to do, build a legacy on that. So for all those creative brothers and sisters, those who like to do graphic designs, those who like to create screenplays, those who like, you know what, get into the media. And let's start seeing a network, maybe even a media network for Muslims across all of Canada, across the US. So that when you want to find out if Ramadan starts tomorrow or not, you turn on your television set. You want to find out when's the adhan for, you know, you have access through your TV. So in the UK, when I'm doing a Friday halaqah, I do it on television. How many people attend that Friday halaqah? Maybe about 50,000. Right? 50,000 people. And that's just a small estimate. And they're in the comfort of their home, whole family is there, mother, father, the kids, and they're watching, you know, maybe a question and answer. And that's Islam Channel. If you look at Peace TV, you're talking about in the millions of people that view that. In other words, there's more out there that we need to focus on. In the past, you'd see men in the past. Remember yesterday we were talking about men and so on. Men strived in the past to contribute to their community and humanity. In other words, in the past, you'd have so many men and women focused on getting Nobel Prizes. Everybody wants to leave a legacy. Let's go back all the way to the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said that there was not anyone amongst the companions who had the ability to leave a legacy, i.e. a waqf, an endowment, something that would continue to be for the Muslims after. He said anybody that had the ability did it. So amongst the Muslims, it wasn't one person who left an endowment. An endowment, for those who don't know, is basically if you build a water fountain and you say, this water fountain, I'm not taking any money for it. Anybody that comes along can take water for free. That's an example of a waqf. Building a well, building a masjid is a waqf. Things like that, they're endowments. So amongst the companions, every one of them who had the ability to do it, did it. And even if you go to Medina, how many people have, anyways, I was going to tell you about restaurants in Medina, but Al-Baik, are you guys familiar with Al-Baik? Yeah. Okay, Al-Baik in Medina, that building is a waqf building from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you go to Medina, everybody knows about Al-Baik, that's like kind of like the KFC of Saudi Arabia. and it does better than KFC. That building was a waqf at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Till today, it's still established as the money that comes from that huge high rise is going fi sabilillah. The money that's, in other words, it's not just financial donations, but people are saying, you know what, this Hyatt Regency hotel is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the income that comes in after the expenses goes, for example, to the Moroccan immigrants in Calgary, for example. The reason I said Moroccan immigrants is because from Al-Maghrib, from Morocco, in Medina, they actually have many waqfs like that. Anybody that had done hijrah to Medina from Morocco or Algeria, there's actually charity foundations just for them. People had established businesses in Medina just to take care of their own immigrants. Same thing with Pakistan House in Medina. So what are people focused on these days? The men, what are they focused on? Who are they trying to impress these days? For a lot of men, maybe not Muslim men, hopefully inshallah ta'ala, but for a lot of men, it's just trying to impress some girl. So some guy goes on, you know, on the internet, and he's like, look at my muscles, look how much money I have. And a girl is impressed, and they're like, this is their legacy. In the past, interestingly, you'd have men of high, noble character and honor that would set the standards for the community. Who's setting the standards for the community these days? Nobody. It's kind of like the standard is that nobody should set standards. It should be like, if you try setting standards, it's like, you know, just keep quiet. Respect people's differences and stuff like that. But in the past, you'd have men. There was a boy I once, he was like acting up. I was in one Muslim country. And then a Muslim man said to me, he said, in my country, if a boy like this is acting foolish, everybody will beat him in the street. Doesn't matter who his parents are. Every single person will beat him that this isn't the way that you act. All the men would treat this boy. It's like, these days nobody can touch a kid like that. Nobody can raise it. I'm sure there's a bunch of countries around the world where it's still like that. The whole village is educating the children. Maybe there's not too many countries like that, but that's the way it was in the past. These days, the men are not setting the standards for themselves, nor for others. So what are the benefits of leaving a legacy? Number one is that already you're ingrained to want to leave a legacy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already put it into you. So even if you thought to yourself, I don't even know why I'm doing this, you would still want to leave a legacy. And to give you a very simple example of this, people want to leave their mark. So if you ever see wet cement, what do you want to do? You naturally want to press your hand into it. This is like, don't touch, but you want to do it. Why? Because you're like, maybe one day I will come back and I will see that I have left a handprint here. My footprints. They're a better place to leave your footprints. But that's, you know, human beings, that's what they want to do. But having said that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Addallu ala al-khayri kafa'ili." That the person who shows and guides to khair is like the one who does it. Yesterday I was telling you about how if you taught people about hajj, for example, everybody's going for hajj, you would get, you know, the reward of their hajj without taking away anything from them. But that's not only in knowledge, it can also be in sadaqah and so on. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Idha mat ibn Adam," if the son of Adam, when that son of Adam dies, انقطع عمله إلا من ثلاث, that his actions are cut off except from three things. So here you see that there are three ways to build a legacy. Three ways to build a legacy. Sadaqatun jariyah, a continuous sadaqah. Ilmun yuntafa'u bih, knowledge that benefits people after the person dies. Wa waladun salihun yad'u lah, and a righteous child that makes dua for this person. So in other words, leaving a legacy will allow you to live after you die. Leaving a legacy will allow you, it's as if you're still on earth, still doing good deeds. In fact, actually, subhanAllah, one of the great benefits of leaving a legacy is you're not getting any sins. You know, sometimes you do good deeds, but while we're here on earth, we're doing bad deeds as well. It's messing up the good deeds. But maybe if you leave that sadaqah, and then you die, then inshallah ta'ala, in your grave, you'll be like, you're still racking up the points. You like that, huh? Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran about other generations. Now notice there's also a warning here, and that is, it is possible to leave behind, leave a legacy of sin. Leave a legacy of sin. In other words, if a person introduces a sin, and they die, they'll still get punished for that. The fact that they had taught other people how to do these things. Such as the sons of Adam, that, you know, one killed the other, and so till the day of judgment, every single person who murders, that son of Adam will get the ithm, will get the sin for doing that. Till the day of judgment, every single person who murders. Person comes into a community, maybe there's some bad language that the community doesn't know. Somebody comes from another city, says, in my community, this is how we use swear words. And they're like, oh, that sounds fun. And then all of them start to swear like that. So the person can, these are like examples of leaving bad legacies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَخَلَفَ مِن بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ وَرِثُ الْكِتَابَ يَأْخُذُونَ عَرَضَ هَذَا الْأَدْنَى وَيَقُولُونَ سَيُغْفَرُ لَنَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after them, an evil generation succeeded them. Like, so they came after. They inherited the book. So in other words, the book was inherited and was passed down to them. But they choose for themselves, they chose instead the vanities of this world, i.e. they left their deen, they chose the vanities of this world. وَيَقُولُونَ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala condemns them for making this statement, وَيَقُولُونَ سَيُغْفَرُ لَنَا And they say, oh, we're going to be forgiven anyway. We'll all be forgiven. We're all going to paradise. What nation is that? Now notice that it's very similar to what we're dealing with now. The Quran is revealed as a lesson. In other words, a Muslim doesn't go around committing sin, abandoning the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and just whenever somebody tells them, ittaqillah, fear Allah, do the good deeds, they're like, you know what? We're promised paradise. That was how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala condemned the people of the past, that's how they spoke. But yet this deen needs action. The person needs to take the kitab, the book, bilquwa, take it with strength and do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded in the book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse, فَخَلَفَ مِن بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ خَيَّا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but after them there followed a posterity, meaning a generation, who missed their prayers. So this generation, basically, when it came to salah, أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ They left it. The succeeding generations abandoned their salah, وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ And they followed instead and ran after their lusts. فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا They will face destruction. So here are some things that people aim for in the dunya, that will not leave a legacy for them. Number one is money. We have a lot of focus on wealth building, which is fine, I'm cool with that. But it's not the goal in of itself. So if a person, basically, if they've lived their life trying to fatten up their wallet, and then they die, is that a legacy? They just, you know, they made money in the dunya. There's some noble thing that has to be done with that money. Some noble profession that the person is doing from which this money is coming from. That's where the legacy comes from. But just because someone's bank account got to a certain level, that's not a legacy to aim for. Another thing that people aim for, and it's just human nature, is having a nice car. Is that a legacy? You know something amazing? Every, like, dusty, stinky car that's out on the street, I look at it and I take ibrah. I take a lesson. I said that there was a day when this was the best car on the road. However long ago it was, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, there was a day when somebody drove this on the road and had some self-esteem, right? They were proud. They were happy of this car. Yet, this is the dunya. And so in other words, the legacy is not in the cars. The legacy is not in the career either. So if you worked as an accountant, who cares? Is that the legacy, or is the legacy knowledge or some beneficial thing that's passed on to future generations? So if someone is an accountant and then they go to the masjid, for example, and they go to all the Islamic organizations and they say, we will organize the finances. So forever, all these Islamic organizations will have amazing, you know, bookkeeping. That's a legacy, right? Not necessarily just the career, but what a person does with it. A lot of people focus their time on entertainment. Now, if you watch the Super Bowl, for example, is that a legacy? Have you left something behind? No. Okay, another thing that a legacy as well, just seeking knowledge for yourself is not necessarily a legacy. Now, of course, we want to seek knowledge, but a legacy is when you take it to the next step of implementation. So you have that knowledge that you've sought, and then you start teaching it and implementing it. That's where the legacy is going to come from, inshallah ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran about certain people, فَمَا بَكَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says when these people die, certain people, that the heavens and the earth, they don't cry for their death. And the scholars say that we learn from this, that when the righteous believer dies, that the heavens and the earth, they do cry at the departure of this man or woman, this believing brother or sister, who spent their life leaving a legacy. The fact that they were alive was khair for the ummah, khair for the community. And that's the position that you want to be in. You want to be worth 10 people. You want to be a person who's always focused on leaving a legacy, leaving those footprints, inshallah ta'ala. In the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, I'll give you a beautiful example of this. Yusuf alayhi salam was harmed by his brothers. They tried to kill him, they tried to place him in the well and so on. And after all those years, you're coming towards the end of Surah Yusuf, and Yusuf alayhi salam, they're telling Yusuf to, be just and be, kind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the kind people. They're telling this to Yusuf. And then Yusuf alayhi salam says to them, قَالَ هَلْ عَلِمْتُمْ مَا فَعَلْتُمْ بِيُوسُفُ وَأَخِيهِ إِذْ أَنْتُمْ جَاهِلُونَ. And then they say back, قَالُوا أَإِنَّكَ لَأَنْتَ يُوسُفْ. Such a beautiful story. They said, are you Yusuf? Their brother that they try to kill? The brother that they've been crying for all these years? And this is like a family reunion. قَالَ أَنَا يُوسُفُ وَهَذَا أَخِي. And then they ask for forgiveness from Yusuf after all these years of harming him. And then he says, لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. What a beautiful legacy. He says, there's no harm upon you, there's no sin. يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. A legacy of forgiveness after all that harm. Do you know what the Prophet ﷺ did when he entered Mecca? He did the exact same thing. Legacy of Yusuf ﷺ. Legacy of the Prophet ﷺ. And for the believers, you'll see so many instances, and I'll give you an example of this. You'll see so many stories where somebody says something to the Prophet ﷺ, something harmful. Umar radiallahu anhu comes, says, Ya Rasulullah, give me permission to kill this munafiq. Right? You're familiar with it. Normally you laugh when Umar says, I'll kill him. He's not joking. And what does the Prophet ﷺ say? Each time. He says no to Umar so that it will not be said that Muhammad kills his companions. It will not be said that Muhammad kills his followers. And so you'll never see in the legacy of the Muslims that Muslims killed, other Muslims. Even if they were munafiq, even probably, they're munafiq on their pits of hellfire, Muslims didn't kill Muslims. It's not in the Islamic legacy like that. And so at all times, keeping what is the legacy that I'm leaving for my family, leaving for the community, leaving for my hereafter. As a person said that the legacy of heroes is the inheritance of a great example. Alright, so here are some quick points on what you need to do to leave a legacy. First and foremost, you need to make the intention. Nawitu. Oh Allah, I made the intention. What's the reward if you make an intention? You get the reward as if you've actually done that good deed. So then what's stopping you from making great intentions every single day? Have great intentions at all times. I was at a masjid one time, and even like right here, like with this entire audience, what if all of us right now made a great intention? Go ahead, write in your mind. I'll give you like 10 seconds to make a great intention. An outstanding intention. What would a great intention be? I'll make dua for Muhammad al-Sharif, you say. Okay? So then when you start asking, one person says, my intention was, I want to build a hospital in Calgary. Somebody says, I wish to, create a satellite for the Muslims in all of North America. Third person says, I wish to, all the hungry children in Canada, I wish to personally feed them every single day, and so on. So now imagine if everybody here did this intention, you'll get the reward of your intention. And if you follow up on it and actually do it, you get 10 times the reward. So now if the community, that shows you optimism and positive thinking of the community. So instead of the community going around complaining about situations, they should be focused on niyat, making great intentions, and on top of that, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which brings you to the second part. After you've made the niyah, then you raise your hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you say, Oh Allah, I have no strength of my own except your strength. La hawla wa la quwwata illa bik. Oh Allah, give me the tools that I need to fulfill this. Give me the motivation that I need to fulfill this. Give me everything that I need by your fadl. And give me the helpers that will help me move forward with this legacy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created humans with strengths and weaknesses. We're not one man shows. Nobody can just do a huge legacy by themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it that you become successful when you work in jama'ah. When you work in jama'ah. Just like a boat on the water, when you work in jama'ah and you work in harmony, that's the wind for your sails that will take you far. Once the jama'ah, once the congregation starts to disintegrate, it's as if that boat has lost its wind. So maybe the boat is there, but it's not going anywhere. And that's the analogy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the believers, that when they're fighting, that they should fight and not differ with one another. فَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. That your wind will go away. Alright? So you made the intention, and you start learning how to work in jama'ah to build this legacy. Another thing that I've noticed with legacy building, and this is something very important, is a lot of times people have this generalization that they want to be the best. They want to be that the best. There is a fundamental mistake with that. Being the best requires that others are below you and have failed. Right? So if you want to be the best mother, and you see another mother that's doing excellent, teaching Quran, and doing a better job than you, you're like, I wish you wouldn't do so good, because I'm not the best. So I'm going to tell you something very important, and that is, don't strive to be the best, strive to be amongst the best. It's a very critical difference. Strive to be amongst the best, in the companionship of the best, not the best. To be in the companionship of the best, to be amongst the best. And to do your best. Not necessarily that you see someone doing something and you say, I cannot be happy until I've beaten this person. Instead, you say to yourself, have I done everything that I'm capable of doing? Have I done my best? And consistently focus on that, inshallah ta'ala. Here's a lesson as well for the mothers. A lot of times mothers, when they're raising their children, sometimes they feel sad that, oh, you know what, you know, here's, you know, the men, they're building messages, they're doing stuff, what about me? I'm stuck with these kids, they're crying, why, you know, stuff like that. I need to build a legacy. Now here in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, وَوَلَدٌ صَالِحٌ يَدْعُو لَهُ. In other words, your children are your legacy. Righteous children that a mother or father have raised, those will be the legacy as well. So mother doesn't necessarily have to focus on, you know, teaching 1,000 kids. She can focus on teaching her children to be the best. Now here's a critical lesson for the mothers. A lot of times it's the mothers teaching their kids, and the fathers, usually they're not really involved in the education of the kids. It's usually the mothers. That being said, I agree, I accept that a mother does her best. I accept that. That a mother does her best. The problem is that sometimes her standards for herself are low. Sometimes. So she'll do her best, but for the kids that's not good enough. In other words, this is my advice to the mothers and inshallah ta'ala the fathers as well, is that you need to raise your standards. You yourself need to raise your standards, because you are going to give your child the best, but if you're not organized, if the house isn't, you know, it's messy, it's untidy, the child sees that things are in disarray, yeah, you might give your best, you teach your children a few du'as and stuff like that. I see kids, they're like 8 years old, 9 years old, parents are like, my child knows the du'a for going to the bathroom. I'm like, congratulations, you can learn that when you're 2 years old. I'm sorry, does that sound mean? Yes, it does sound mean. You can learn those things so young. This child just lost like maybe 5 years. And this is just not right that the child loses their childhood like that. And no, we shouldn't be proud, just one du'a, two du'as, that's great. But they can, at age 8, they should be reading, memorizing Quran. They can even be finished the Quran. It's about raising standards. Mother raises her standard and the child's standard will be raised. There was a father in our Islamic school. He had like three of his kids memorize the Quran. And he just started practicing a few years before. This father, I was trying to get his secrets. What did he do that so many of his kids have memorized the Quran? Here's one of the most amazing things that I learned from him. When he drops his kids off at the Quran school, after school, it's like an after school Quran school, what do you think he does? He parks the car and he goes to class with his kids. He wants to learn as well. So the kids, of course, they're memorizing way faster than their father, and the father's not even done, but the father loves the Quran. And he's in the Quran class, and he's teaching Quran he's learning Quran himself. And he's in competition with his sons and daughters. Three of them memorize the Quran, and mashallah, he has many children, and inshallah ta'ala, the other ones will memorize the Quran as well. Inshallah. If I've offended you, so what? All right, let's wrap it up, inshallah ta'ala. So many times, you know, yesterday I talked about the boys and I didn't really talk about the girls too much, and you could just got a glimpse of, you know, the women's thing. What if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you with a girl? A lot of times in many cultures, when people are blessed with a girl, they're like, oh, shucks, no more legacy for here. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, and this is in many cultures, by the way, maybe not in all our culture, but go overseas and you'll see this culture, that people just don't see hope, or the women are not like doing things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran about the mother, Imra'at Imran, the wife of Imran, where she dedicated that which was in her stomach. She became pregnant, and she dedicated what was in her stomach for the sake of Allah. She said, whatever's in my stomach, I will dedicate this child, this boy, to your worship, O Allah. They would be, you know, one of the greatest servants of yours. When she gave birth to a girl. And you know, this is like, this is an issue here. She said, in the Quran, she says, قَالَتْ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَضَعْتُهَا أُنْثَى. She says, O Allah, I gave birth to a girl. And this is so beautiful because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the girl. Allah is the one who gave it to her. And she's saying, oh Allah, it's a girl. Allah knows. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا وَضَعْتُ وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. He says, and Allah knows best of what she gave birth to, and the boy is not like the girl. And then Imra'at Imran, she says, وَإِنِّي سَمَّيْتُهَا مَرْيَمُ وَإِنِّي أُعِيذُهَا بِكَ وَذُرِّيَّتَهَا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. And so she named her daughter Maryam, Mary. And we know the legacy of Maryam alayhi salam. And so whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you, it's a legacy to cherish and to build on. Wallahu ta'ala. جزاكم الله خيرا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك واتوب إليك. I really enjoyed my time here in Calgary, and inshallah ta'ala I wish the best of success for your community and all of Western Canada and the Muslim Ummah, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.